Grant us patience, O Lord, that we might be ready to receive you when you come in glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as Dorothy takes in her surroundings and declares, "Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore," it might seem that this liturgical space is not what it was just 1 week ago. Our collect prays about Jesus coming into the world to destroy the works of the devil, about us purifying ourselves, and alludes to his coming again in power and great glory. And the theme of Jesus coming again runs throughout the gospel text, a parable that is introduced with, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this." The hymns that we've heard, "Lo, he comes," and the one that we just sang before the gospel text about being ready and lighting our lamps, are disorienting. We think of these as Advent hymns. And to be clear, I had nothing to do with choosing those hymns. That was Matt's wisdom, not my affinity for "Lo, he comes." And in a sense, we are entering into Advent today. In the Church of England, today is not the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. No, it is the third Sunday before Advent. When I teach about the liturgical calendar, one of the metaphors that I use is that Christmas and Easter are two giants in our solar system, something like Saturn and Jupiter. Well, we are a comet that travels through this system. And now that we have passed All Saints, we are close enough to Christmas that we start to get pulled into its orbit. So the readings, prayers, and the tone are starting to bring us closer to that great feast of Christmas. And the closer we get, the further we go into Advent. Advent, you'll recall, is a season that is primarily focused on preparation. Not preparations like gift buying or tree decorating, but preparations for having Jesus come again, just as he came as the child of Mary some 2,000 years ago. Advent is about the second coming of Jesus. And this is what we have to hold in mind as we consider these parables from Matthew 25. This week, it is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Next week, it is the parable of the talents. And in 2 weeks, it is the parable of the sheep and goats. These are parables about the coming of the king and of judgment. And as Jesus makes clear, judgment and action go together. Today's parable is fairly straightforward. 10 bridesmaids are waiting for the groom to arrive so that the wedding banquet can begin. Now, for some reason, and we aren't told why, because it's not information that Jesus thinks that we need to know or speculate about, the groom is delayed. Understandably, all of the bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish, get tired, and they drift off to sleep. Then, as we hear in another great Advent hymn, "Midnight's peace their cry has broken, their urgent summons clearly spoken. The time has come, O maidens wise, rise up and give us light. The bridegroom is in sight, alleluia. Your lamps prepare and hasten there, that you the wedding feast may share." But there's a problem. Apparently, 5 of the bridesmaids were not anticipating this delay and had not brought with them a supply of lamp oil. Again, why they didn't bring the oil, we can speculate. But if Jesus wanted us to know that detail, I think he would have given it to us. The point is, they're out of oil. And so they ask the other 5 bridesmaids, who did bring extra oil with them, if they can borrow some. And they are told no. And again, we don't know why they refused. Perhaps it was because the lamps had already been refilled and relit. And getting oil out of an already burning lamp is difficult and dangerous. Maybe it's that they didn't want to run out of oil themselves if they gave too much away. We don't know exactly why they said no. And at this point, we can get tripped up in the parable if we focus on the wrong thing. Well, it is true that Jesus says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you," back in Matthew 7. This is not a parable about sharing. If it were, the judgment would come down against those who had the extra oil and did not share it. But that's not what happens. And it's also true that back in Matthew 6, Jesus told his disciples, "Consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air," with the exhortation to not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Well, apparently we are supposed to worry about oil, which seems confusing. And we know that Jesus is a great and gracious provider. After all, when 5,000 people come out to hear him teach and get hungry, we call it the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, not the story about the 5,000 hungry people who forgot their lunch. Jesus has told us, "Ask and it will be given you." But that doesn't seem to be working here. And these sorts of things can make us focus on the wrong part of the parable. The issue at hand is not sharing with others. Yes, absolutely, we should share our resources with those who need it. But that's not what this is a story about. It is a parable of judgment. And the admonition at the end, "Keep awake," makes that clear. And the simple, even if inconvenient, truth is that some things cannot be shared. You cannot share generosity and make up for those who are not generous. You can forgive all the people you want, but that does not make up for those who do not forgive others. You can work on your marriage with every fiber of your being, but if your spouse does not, then the marriage will be in trouble. If you did not study for that exam, you cannot borrow studying time that your classmates put in. If you worked long hours throughout your career, you cannot get back the time that you did not spend coming to church or with your children. And what Jesus is really driving at here, you cannot lean on the faith of others when you are asked for an accounting of the faith in you. There's no getting around the fact that this is a tough message. It's why this is considered a parable of judgment. And sometimes in judgment, we are found lacking. So those bridesmaids that were found lacking in oil went out in search of oil. Now, I'm not sure that it was a prudent decision to try to find an open store in the middle of the night. Maybe they had some friends in that city and they had planned to go to their house to borrow some oil. But isn't this a truth that we all know? Sometimes when we are stressed or anxious, we make bad decisions, like running out when the bridegroom is in sight to try to find a 24-hour convenience store a few thousand years before they've been invented. And in this sense, the parable is a cautionary tale. Sometimes it's simply too late. If you've been a demanding boss your entire life, that is likely how you will be remembered. At the final hour, and this is a parable about the final hour, things are pretty much decided. The way the parable unfolds is that presumably these bridesmaids found the oil. Maybe they actually did know the right place to find it. Maybe they just got lucky, but they come back to try to join the party. But when they arrive, they are told, "I don't know who you are," and they remain shut out from the party. They don't call it a parable of judgment for nothing. Now, one difference between the wise and the foolish here is not their access to oil. They both ended up with it, but rather whether or not they carried the oil with them, which allowed them to have their light shining when the bridegroom arrived. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus has told us, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God." The light of Christ was shining brightly in them, What mattered wasn't so much that they knew where to find the oil or how to light a lamp. The foolish figured that out. What made the wise is that they were living for this moment of the bridegroom's arrival. Though he was very late, they had ordered their lives around his return. And a lot of people probably thought that these wise were actually foolish. It's the middle of the day. Why are you carrying around so much oil with you? Why do you give your money to the church instead of just spending it on yourself? Why do you bother loving your enemies? It's a lot easier to hate them. Given all that's going on in the world, why don't you just give in to bitterness? It's a lot more fun and satisfying than being gracious. Why do you bother praying and watching church? You're just telling yourself a fairy tale. We are people who are waiting for the party. We are people who anticipate the coming of Jesus. And that might make us look foolish, carrying around our oil in the form of faith, hope, and love. But as we know from St. Paul's writings, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. This is a parable that gives us encouragement to endure and be patient. For indeed, there is a great party coming. At the end of the day, though, have we really figured out what the difference is between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids is? Yes, the wise were ready to light their lamps because they had oil with them, instead of having to go get it at the last minute. But the foolish managed to do that as well. They went out, got the oil, and lit their lamps. And what that ending suggests to us is that it was never about the oil. The bridegroom didn't care who had oil and who did not. The difference between the wise and the foolish is which side of the door they are on. In this parable, the door is shut, and everyone is on the side of the door that they put themselves on. The wise, because they had oil, were there to welcome the bridegroom upon his arrival. The foolish, because they had no oil and went to go get some, ended up on the other side of the door. But what would have happened if the foolish had stayed inside and trusted in the mercy of the bridegroom to either give them some oil or maybe not even care if they had any oil or not? Nowhere in this parable does the bridegroom congratulate the wise for having oil. Instead, he greets those who are waiting his arrival and then goes into the wedding banquet with them. As much as this is not a parable about the virtues of preparedness, it is also not a parable about the importance of self-sufficiency. What makes the foolish foolish is not that they didn't have oil with them. It's that they went out and tried to get it, effectively locking themselves out. They were pursuing things that in the end do not matter. While it is absolutely true, some things cannot be borrowed or shared, and sometimes it is too late to fix our mistakes. But when this bridegroom comes, there is always abundant grace. When the bridegroom comes, there's going to be a party. And the question that the bridegroom will ask is not, how bright is your lamp? How long has it been shining? Or how much oil do you have there? No, the question that the bridegroom will ask is, are you ready to party?